Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
So, Mara, some breaking news this week. Billy Miller confirmed that he has left the role of GH's Drew. So Billy posted a heartfelt goodbye message online via his manager, Marnie Sparer, where he thanked the fans and said he was grateful for their support and encouragement. And, you know, our Facebook page was just flooded with messages for him, wishing him well and thanking him for everything he brought to the show. You know, Billy's done primetime work, so many of them are hoping to see him in a new project soon. And he is no stranger to other daytime shows, having played YNR's Billy for 6 years, where he won 3 Emmys.
Yeah, I was out in Los Angeles this past weekend for General Hospital's fan club weekend, and the subject of Billy came up a lot, as you would imagine, at various events because, of course, fans wanted to know what was up. Among the actors on the show, I would say that the sentiment was really similar to the Facebook comments you just mentioned. There was a high confidence that it's not going to be too long before we see him somewhere else, be it primetime, daytime, or film, and he has, you know, credits in all three.
So when he was first hired, we had heard rumblings that the show was deciding between making him Jason and making him Dylan Quartermain, which had previously been played by Scott Clifton, who is now B&B's Liam. Now, I don't know if it's true, but I do remember hoping that they would make him Dylan, mainly because I feel there are certain roles that should never be recast, and Jason is certainly on that list for me. You know, plus I felt that Dylan was a little closer to what Billy had played on YNR, and I felt he could have been a really seamless reboot of that character. And it also would have done a lot to fortify the Qs at the time, who were a little light on the canvas. You know, the character of Jason just came with such different baggage, and not that Billy didn't do a great job. He most certainly did. But I feel that there could have been more success if he just hadn't played that role.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that that was one of the most high-risk recasts a show has undertaken, certainly in recent years and maybe ever. You know, Jason was sort of vanilla in his early years of being played by Steve Burton, but when that car accident and brain damage story came into play, and Jason Quartermain, you know, morphed into Jason Morgan, he became iconic. Mm-hmm. And Steve Burton's blue eyes giving that stone-cold stare became so iconic that when he returned and was wearing that Patient Six mask, the show knew it would be sufficient just to show his eyes peeking mm-hmm. through that mask, and the audience would know, you know, the message here is that Jason is back. I have a lot of thoughts about how Billy was utilized, be it as Jake Doe, Jason, or as Drew, his current incarnation. But to your point, yeah, I think that making him Dylan would have leaped over a lot of the obstacles that the show faced in trying to recast Jason.
And I know I've said this so many times over the past year on the podcast, but I am just not a big fan of recasts in general. And I am really not on board with recasting roles that are so identified with the actors who have played them. Like, off the top of my head, I couldn't see another actor but Maurice Bernard playing GH's Sonny, or anyone but Allison Sweeney playing Daisy Sammy, or Christian Alfonso playing Hope, not to mention Eric Braden as YNR's Victor, or Joshua Morrow as Nick, or even John McCook as B&B's Eric. You know, I definitely put Steve Burton and Jason into that category. And I get the temptation of having a really good high-profile actor at your disposal and seeing the value of having a major character return, but it puts such an onus and expectation on the actor coming in that I often wonder if it's really worth it.
I look at it this way, like that even when it generally works, by which I mean that fan sentiment seems generally to be favorable toward the recast, you are never going to win over all of the original performer's fan base, and the comparisons to the original actor are probably never going to end. Look at what happens when an original actor does return. Like, 9 times out of 10, the recast either is out of a job altogether or they are assigned to another character. Like, we've seen this repeatedly. Billy Miller, as we discussed, Drake Hogeston going from Roman to John on Days, Trevor St. John going from Todd to Victor on One Life to Live. I would also say that these kinds of recasts are often more successful if a lot of time has passed. Like, Sarah Michelle Gellar made such an impact on the All My Children canvas as Kendall, and she left in 1995. The show didn't recast until, like, late 2001 with Alicia Minshew, which I think helped the show, the show's audience accept a reinvented version of the character.
Speaking of All My Children, ABC created a whole campaign about rehiring Rebecca Buddy as Greenlee, with commercials touting that the real Greenlee was back, which just proves the point that there is rarely a stronger portrayer than the role's originator. You know, Robert Kelker Kelly was a very successful Beau recast on Days, but when Peter Reckle came back in 1995, you know, all bets were off. But I think it also sometimes depends on how long someone has played the role. I mean, Patrick Muldoon was Days' first Austin, but he was only there for 3 years. So then Austin Peck took over, and he was there for 8 years. So when Patrick returned in 2011, like, he kind of didn't feel like Austin anymore.
Right. That's true. And I, you know, I also want to say that I understand, and I know you do too, why it is that execs roll the dice and try to find a suitable replacement for characters like the ones we're discussing, because what they all have in common is that they are major players on the canvas of their show, and their absences leave a noticeable void. You know, either they're a key member of an important family, or they're in a big deal romance, or all of the above. When a show has built big story around a character, especially over the course of many years, and the actor leaves, I think the creatives at a show have as hard a time letting go sometimes as the fans do. But of course, it's never as simple as just plugging actor A into the role actor B made famous. Like, it may be from a storytelling perspective, but in terms of audience response, it's likely to be an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Well, our guest today is no stranger to the topic at hand. She first hit daytime in 1994 as Y&R's Phyllis. And although she was briefly recast for a very brief period of time after she left in 1997, she then returned for a 13-year stretch. So after a visit to Port Charles as Nina, Michelle Stafford is back playing the role that first put her on the daytime map. So let's get her on the phone to talk about her journey. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good.
All right. So, Michelle, you're actually the first guest we have had back on the podcast who is talking about a different role than the one we spoke to them last time.
I'm honored.
Okay. So, like, you would really have to be living under a rock to not know that you are now back at Y&R playing Phyllis again. So let's go back to when you left the show in 2013. At the time, did you think you'd be back?
No. No.
Like you were done. You said goodbye to Phyllis.
That's all I got for
you. Yeah, thank you. It was great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
I didn't. I really didn't. I believe I was on the cover of your magazine, and I believe that the title was, I'm Done.
If memory serves, that's very accurate.
No, I didn't think I'd be back. I was really, I really felt like I played it out, like I played the character out. And I was even, I was talking to Eric the other day, and I was, you know, we were just kind of discussing the last few years and coming back and stuff. And I said, you know, I was never done with Y&R. I loved it here. I made that very clear. I loved it here, and I loved all the people. And I was really like, I just felt like the character, I kind of, you know, it ran its course with me creatively, is what I felt at the time. Yeah.
So fast forwarding, you know, 6 years later, and with the passage of time and stretching your wings, obviously playing Nina on General Hospital, when this came back up, like, what appealed to you about the idea of returning to the show as Phyllis?
Well, you know, honestly, when I was called and I was talked to by a few people, I was spoken to. Do I say spoken to? I was spoken to.
That sounds better.
By a few people here. There seemed to be like a new, for lack of a better word, rejuvenation for the show by all involved, by Sony, by CBS, by the guys here at the show. And they really felt that the show had gone off course with what had made it so special. And regardless of anything, Y&R, everyone, I think in daytime can agree that it's a very special show, meaning, you know, it looks beautiful. The sets are beautiful. There's a certain, what do you call it? Like in Jerry Maguire, he goes, a certain schwa or whatever. What is that?
I mean, I've seen that movie a lot, but I don't know. What
a certain je ne sais quoi? Is that what we're looking for?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's that, but Cuba Gooding Jr. like makes up a word. I'll watch it again and I'll get back to you. Okay.
Just why don't you go watch it now and call back?
We'll just wait.
Okay. We'll wait. But there's a certain special something. And, I got the feeling that they had felt that that had been, not part of the show, and they were trying in every way, in every department, they really wanted to get back to the Bill Bell style of storytelling, the Bill Bell style of a show, but make it current, because you always have to kind of change with the times. But Bill, as you guys both know, he was so brilliant. I mean, it's called The Young and the Restless, right? He was so incredible at bringing in youth and intertwining youth into what one would not think be useful, right? I don't want to say, I mean, I'm not youthful, but,
we don't want to use the word that's on the opposite of that spectrum. Okay.
Right. That's the opposite of youthful, right? But intertwining all stories into each other. And there was such a passion and excitement here at the show, and it's still here, from everybody involved, everybody who's part of the show. Like I said, CBS and the guys here at the show, and also Sony, and they just that really was the main reason. Because Bill Bell is Bill Bell, and to be on any kind of show that's going to be like he wanted stories to unfold is pretty great.
Okay. Well, so what was your preparation for the character like? Had you kept tabs on what Phyllis was up to? Did you research what she'd been up to?
Yeah, I didn't watch it except when I would judge the Emmy submissions. That's when I would see it. And so I didn't know about, or I'd see like on social media, like previews, and I would click on and be like, oh, what's going on, But that's when I would see it. I didn't really see a whole show, but when we made the agreement, for me to come back, I think I've spoken about this, but I watched everything I could watch back to, I got the app, I got CBS Watch app, and I watched everything I could. So I watched every show back to August of last year, because I just wanted to get also a tone of the show, because you can like study a character, but you also have to kind of, get a tone of like, what's the harmonic of the character when that particular character interacts with another. So what's the tone of the show? What it looked like? And so I watched it, and then I read, as I've spoken about before, but I read every single synopsis from the time that Phyllis came back in 2014. And I believe it, 2014 to present. And it took a while, it was weeks before, and I just, after I put the kids to bed, I read what I could, and I'd probably read like the synopsis, probably maybe, 35 or something, 35 or 50 a night.
Wow. So did it feel like you knew these people or you didn't?
No, I mean, I got it. I was reading, I was really reading as I'm not a viewer, because that wouldn't make sense that I'm reading as a viewer, right? But you know what I mean? Like, I'm reading as someone who's, kind of understanding the show. I knew the characters. So I got it. It was like, oh, okay. So, and people like, there were some people that I was like, who is that? Because they would be referred to or, she would be talking the synopsis, because it wasn't the whole script. It was just the synopsis, right? Of like what happened in this scene, what happened in this scene. And there were characters that I'd be like, who is this person? And then I'd even, I came back here and I asked someone, and they were like, I have no idea.
A blip.
I'm not going to say who it is, but I'd be like, do you know who blah is? And because it was in that person's storyline too. And they're like, no, which I thought was funny.
So with all of that kind of under your belt and you're getting ready for your first day back, did you like nurse any anxiety about like finding the character again, finding Phyllis's voice?
Oh God, totally. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. I mean, I still am not there. I'm still finding it. Oh God. for sure. I mean, it's a new job. It is truly a new job. And I even said to Josh when I was doing something, I said, I'm sorry, it's all new. And he just started laughing. Right. And I said, but dude, it's a new job. It's the relationships with others are new too. I mean, I haven't worked with them in 6 years. So yeah, it's all new. And of course you're always thinking, oh God, is this going to be the worst mistake of my life? Or people, am I just going to crash and burn? And which brings me to, doing what I'm supposed to do, which is, memorize my lines, know where my mark is, and do the best job I know how to do and not really listen to anything else. And I've really kept that, as an integrity point to me coming here, because I just didn't, it's also, Phyllis isn't the nicest chick on the block. Right. And so you're going to get a lot of, I hate you. And gosh, I just, you can't be affected by that. You can't be desired to be liked. Of course, it's now they're writing it a certain way where she's kind of a badass, she's kind of a badass and she's not necessarily good. I mean, she's human, so she feels things and she does something that she feels is wrong. She feels bad, but she's, I wouldn't say, Phyllis is a bad girl. She's just a bad girl.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like to walk back into the studio again after such a long gap?
So bizarre. It was just really, I think I was shaking when I drove into the parking lot. I think I was literally shaking. I came in first for a fitting. And I came, that was probably 4 days before I was to start here. But I came in for a fitting and it was very bizarre. And one of the other things that was so bizarre is that nothing really had changed, which of course made it more bizarre because 6 years had gone by. And I was thinking, how could nothing change? and people looked great. Everybody looked really good. People had lost weight.
Describe your first day. So when you actually did go back and now you're reporting to work and you've been there before in life, but not, this is your second time around or third time around, right? Actually, what did it feel like?
God, it's my third time around. Jeez. It just felt weird. It felt weird. But again, I didn't want to pay attention to that. Because then you're it feels weird. And then that starts affecting your performance. I just, it was a job, and I think it probably helped that I only had a week in between jobs. I ended off on a Friday at General Hospital and started, I believe, the following Friday here.
All right. So you shake a little bit on the way in. Now you're there. Tell us about reuniting with some of your castmates on set. Your first day, officially in Phyllis's skin again. Seeing Peter Bergman and Josh Morrow and Laura Lee, your people.
Well, I had kept in contact with all of those people, with Peter, with Josh and with Laura Lee. So it wasn't oh my God, I hadn't, not that I didn't want to, but I hadn't really kept in contact with Mel or with Sharon, or Amelia. Cause I don't know. We just didn't, it's not, there's nothing to read into that.
Noted.
But yeah, I mean, it was really cool. It was sort of six years go by and a lot of life happens, right? To all of us. And from life, you change. And a lot of life has happened in the last 6 years for me. And so the interesting thing about it is a couple of people have spoken to me And there's, this is not a criticism at all. I just think it's interesting. I've sort of spoken to me like I'm the girl who started here, you know, in my 20s, you know? And it's funny because I'm like, oh, I'm still that person to them. And yeah, of course I am. I'm still the person I was when I left to them. And you kind of have to reintroduce yourself as to who you are now. And that's, you know, that's a bit of a, you know, journey to do that, you know, and get to know people again. But, you know, everybody's so cool here and lovely, which I've said like a gazillion times. Everybody, it is family. I mean, I had a very interesting conversation with Peter about this. And when we were talking after the death of Christoph, and we were just saying how this group and on these shows, it's more family than you realize, you know. And I will stop because I'll just, of course, start to cry. But it's like, it really is. It's family like any other family, working or personal, you know, or related, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you also are working with Hunter King again, who was, I feel like, a baby mm-hmm. when you left. So different. You know, what's it like to play the mother-daughter dynamic again?
Oh, she's adorable. I mean, she's great. She's a pro. She comes from a working family. You know, I'm an artist family, actors, and her sister is an incredible actress too. And she's just so much fun, so professional, you know, completely on point. And we're creating, you know, our relationship again. And she just, and you know, she's awesome because she always laughs at my jokes, which is, you got to love someone like that.
Yeah, that's a big, big plus.
It is.
We like that. We like that.
We've seen that you have had scenes to share with Eva LaRue, which was a long time coming, I feel like. What was that like?
Yeah. Oh, it was so good. I mean, we just go back because of all the time that we spent in daytime and seeing each other. And, you know, and people, it's like, you know, now there's four shows. So everybody's pretty much worked with each other. Even the crew, they're like, oh, I used to work with Blah on As the World Turns, and you worked with her on General Hospital. Like, everybody knows each other pretty much at this point. And so, you know, Eva and I, we're, you know, we already have like a friendship. So I really liked our scenes because we kind of brought that onto the screen. And it was truly the two of us talking about being mothers, truly. They were really well-written mother scenes. And they were very fun. They're very fun. And, you know, Eva's a very good actor. She's very, very natural. Very natural. Like, I love to watch her work because she makes everything just very easy. And those are usually the really good actors where you can't really see them acting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to seeing mm-hmm. you in scenes together then.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting to me that you said you felt like you still haven't necessarily, like, you don't necessarily feel like you're super, like, back as Phyllis yet. I have to say, I got the real old school feels when I saw the scenes between your first scenes with Laura Lee Bell and the snark and, oh, you know, that kind of old dynamic. Are there scenes that have felt, you know, or moments where you felt like, ah, this is familiar and I got this?
Well, that one, definitely. That one, for sure. I mean, that scene on paper, I'm reading it and I'm like, this chick is out of control. My God. I mean, like, she was out of freaking control. And I think also to Phyllis, I mean, with all everything that she played since 1994, all of that, I mean, that runs deep. That's the essence of who Phyllis is. I mean, we cannot forget that Phyllis met Danny. She zeroed in on Danny. She was a total starfucker groupie. I mean, and she wanted to be with the wealthy, you know, rich guy, star, movie star, you know, stage star and rock star. Like, she wanted, and she would do anything to get what she wants. I mean, she's resourceful and smart. And And, you know, Laura Lee to cricket was her roadblock. That was her first roadblock. And I think it's really necessary. That relationship is really necessary to who the character is, Phyllis, the character Phyllis. But that scene was very much, there've been a couple scenes where I'm like, oh, this relationship is very different, you know, like, not that the writing is necessarily different, but that through the years, the last 5 years, when the amazing Gina Tognoni was playing the role, that the dynamic changed. It just did. And those are, you know, scenes with, that I noticed the Phyllis Jack scenes are the dynamic is slightly different than I remember. And the Phyllis Nick scenes are very different. And so, but I mean, Sharon, I also felt like the Sharon, Phyllis scenes were very, like I really got into those easily too. And so did Sharon. So like, I really loved those two. I like the dynamic between these women too.
Mm-hmm. You're also working a lot with newcomer Mark Grossman as Adam. How has that been?
Yeah. He's great. I mean, he's been, as you guys can see, he's been, really given a very, very big job. And he has so much dialogue. And it's like he's changing the canvas for a bunch of other characters, right, too. So, I mean, he's just done a really great job. He is completely professional. Comes here prepared with an idea of what to do. He's really an amazing actor. And I think in just scenes to come, you're just going to see him grow more and do more things and make Adam more his own. You know what I mean? He's terrific. He's very good. And I really like working with him.
So you recently sported some really nice activewear as Phyllis. you do have like an amazing wardrobe. So when you walk in for the day and you see like Phyllis is working out and that's what she's going to be wearing, like what's your first reaction?
Usually I'm prepared. I get someone says, hey, you're going to be wearing a bathing suit or something. I that day I was not told and I should have noticed it, but a lot of times I don't read the bold print. You know, because a lot of times in the bold print, it'll say, Phyllis is infuriated. And you're like, really? Infuriated by that? You know, like a lot right. of times so I just have learned through the years to not really like pay attention to my, so I missed it when I was memorizing lines that she was, and, you know, I think I spoke, I looked at it and I was like, yo, like, I could have gone to the gym a couple times before that. That's how I feel, though. That's how I feel, because we're always, like, the most critical of our own bodies. And just let me be.
Yeah, you looked amazing. And I feel like I can't name one other woman in daytime who has actually, I don't know, worn something that was so maybe revealing of late. So
right, and it was gray, and it was gray. Like they gave me an option, either the purple or gray, and I was like, "Damn, it's not even black." Shit, black is slimming. So I picked the gray. What the hell? What the hell? Like Phyllis, I always made the decision. I made this decision early on that Phyllis doesn't work out, that she just like eats whatever she wants. And she's that person who never needs to work out. I made that decision.
I like that. It makes her just a little more hateable.
Right?
Yeah, and it puts the onus on you to keep working out so that she can be that way. You have to work out so she doesn't have to.
Well, I mean, listen, like Christian LeBlanc says, we've been hungry for 13 years.
Only 13?
It's Christian's line. I'll have him explain it to you. Amazing.
Right, credit where credit is due. Stephanie and I were just talking about like you know, recasting characters and all that goes along with it. And General Hospital, of course, recast the role of Nina with Cynthia Watrous. And we were so fascinated about the fact that you guys went to lunch. And I'm so curious about how that came about. Like, did you reach out to her or vice versa?
Yeah, I did. I reached out to her because I knew that she was coming into the role pretty quick. And she was picking it up in the middle of a storyline. And not only that, like right before like the apex of a story, right before the climax, right? And so I got her email and I CC'd my boss because sometimes people get a little like, wait, why do you want to talk to her?
Right.
I don't know. They probably wouldn't have been like that, but you know, you got
to played it safe.
So, Right. And I just said, hey, you know, if you got this, it's cool, but I just wanted to reach out and, you know, give you any information that you would possibly need. And she emailed me back right away and she was like, oh my God, thank you. This is so lovely. I'd love to take you out to lunch. So then we set up a lunch and I had notes. I had a bunch of notes for her and, you know, told her, really went through every character and what that character meant to Nina, you know,
wow.
Like her brother and the devastation when her brother died and who her mother was and her aunt and like went through every single person, gave her the backstory. And then also really like the essence, like the soul of the character, because it's just helpful to an actor, you know, it's just freaking helpful. And she was awesome and amazing. And I had never met her, but I'd been a fan of her. She's an incredible actress and a lovely person and really, really a beautiful person. And like the other day, so we, you know, we text every now and then. The other day I was at the podiatrist for my broken toe.
Glamorous.
Yes, so fantastic. And it does, by the way, it does smell like feet in there, just so you know.
I was wondering. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never been to a podiatrist before. I'm like, damn, it really does smell like feet. So, you know, the TV was on and General Hospital was on then, and it was a wedding. Who's freaking, oh, it was the Frizz wedding. And so I saw her and she looked amazing. She looked awesome. I couldn't hear her, but it looked awesome. So she's great. She's doing a great job.
Wait, so did you text
her? Everyone loves her. And yeah, I texted her. And I was like, hey, you know, I see you. You're on at the podiatrist office.
That's amazing.
I just want you to know you look awesome. Yeah. And she's texting back. She's like, oh, great. You know, she's like, how's it going? So yeah, I think it's the right thing. You know, we're all actors and we're just trying to make it happen. You know, we're all just trying to do a good job, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when you look back on your GH run, like what storylines stand out to you as ones you really particularly liked that Nina got to be a part of?
Well, I mean, the things that really do stand out to me, you know, I really loved working with everyone there, but I loved the Nina Franco story. I thought it was so quirky and so different to have these two characters that were basically nuts to everybody kind of fall in love in the mental institution. I thought that was really interesting. I thought it was interesting that they made the choice that she was afraid to have sex. I thought it was all, whether it was popular or not, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of not my job to know if it's popular, but I mean, I loved playing it. I loved that this woman was quirky like that. I loved the whole relationship with her brother, with Jay, who she called Jay Nathan. I just felt like that was such a special thing that, me and Ryan created. I loved it so much. I loved that she had kind of endowed Jay with the baby that she didn't have, you know, like I didn't have a child, but you're basically my child, but he in turn took care of her all the time. What else? I mean, I loved the relationship between Nina and Maxie. I loved it so much. It was fun and funny, and I love Kirsten so much. And those are the things that really pop out. And of course, Valentine and Nina. It's mainly like not so much storyline, but the relationships that Nina had that I liked. You know, it's the Valentine, because Valentine is a scoundrel. He's a bad guy. And Nina kind of makes him a good guy. But, yeah.
I get that. Storylines come and go, but relationships are forever, Michelle.
I know, right? But it's like, that kind of makes a story the story, the relationship between the two characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what gives it the stakes, usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, it gives it the joie that the thing from Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, TikTok. Where are you in the movie?
I don't know.
So, you know, in terms of like the friends that you made there, who do you see yourself like staying in touch with?
I still stay in touch with M and Kirsten and James. And, and Cynthia, and, and Vanessa Antoine for sure. And Finola, of course. I mean, of course.
That's
and
your homie.
She's my homie. I mean, I'll always know Finola, and I will always know each other. And then, you know, I'm going out with a few of the girls from GH to go see a concert next week. And they're friends are friends. They'll stay friends forever. Just because proximity that doesn't stop you from being friends and loving someone, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful.
That's so beautiful.
Just to bring it home for everybody, I did a little
so
Google.
Gorgeous.
The word is Quan.
Quan. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Wikipedia, for putting the whole scene in dialogue.
Quan.
I'll be interrogating you later about what Google search terms you've used, because I'm very interested to know. That was very quick.
Well, you are also busy away from the set of your current soap opera, working on both Skin Nation, your beauty line, and I hear you are writing a book. Do tell.
Yes, I am. Well, I have a Skin Nation, which is skincare and botanical and vegan and really awesome. I'm writing a book on how to care for your skin from the inside out, because it came from me talking to a lot of our customers, and, you know, I'd FaceTime some of them and they'd say, it's not getting better. It's not changing. And I'd see them and I would just have a little idea. I'm like, what are you eating? And, you know, and I'm just like, do you drink? And some of them, you know, were on pharmaceuticals, can't do anything about that. They're on necessary medications. And, they're having their booze or they're smoking cigarettes. And I thought, oh shoot, you know, I'm not the moral police. I really make a point to say this too. I'm not the moral police. I don't care what anyone does in their life. I don't care. I really don't. But as far as skincare, if you are, you know, smoking a couple packs a day and you know, you want your wrinkles to go away, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder to care for your skin. So I just thought, you know, a lot of these women, they don't know. They don't know what is this particular vitamin that, and this vegetable has a huge amount of this particular vitamin, what is it doing for my skin? So it's really cutting down, like I really put stuff in layman terms for people to understand, this is the vitamin you need for this. These things have a lot of it. This is exactly what it's doing for your skin. And here are some recipes. It's kind of broken down like that. Super easy to understand, because I honestly think you could sit five people down and go, okay, you tell me what is an antioxidant? And no one would be able to tell you what it is or what it does for your body. And we hear all these terms like antioxidant, vitamin C, it's really good for your skin, or free radicals, those are bad. But we don't really get why. You start reading and it's sort of confusing and like, wait, what? And so I've done just an extensive, in the last 2 years, an extensive amount of research. When I'm not reading recaps, God, it seems like I have all the time in the world, doesn't it?
I mean, no, it seems like you have no time because you're always got your nose in something to read.
Yeah, I kind of have no time. But yeah, that's what the book is about. It's just a real easy, an easy read. And here's what to do to help your skin. And here's what it is, here's what it means, here's what it does for your skin. And by the way, here's some recipes so you can put it into your body. And also super easy recipes, not things that you're going to, I just want it easy because people have no time. You know, I want it really easy for people.
Well, I would buy anything you were selling when it came to skincare.
Thank you.
I would trust your expertise.
My first customer.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. And I do have an integrated nutritionist helping me out as well.
So it's not just you, is the point.
No, because I just find that people go, okay, yeah, Soapstar, you know what you're talking about. and you need to kind of couple with somebody who's a professional in the field. So she's helping me out and she'll write the foreword.
Would you consider a collab with your podiatrist?
Yes, I would.
All right, for the sequel.
As long as I don't have to wait in that waiting room.
Right, and smell the feet, totally.
And smell the feet. I'll watch GH, but I won't smell the feet.
We cannot let you go without getting an update on your two adorable children, Natalia and Jameson. Give us the latest. Give us
Thanks.
The scoop.
Well, I'm feeling really guilty today because I got really mad at them last night.
Wow.
And long story very short, you know, Natalia was sick the night before. I didn't get any sleep. Then I came here and did a full day at work. She came to work with me. And granted, she didn't feel well, but it's a lot of, I'm bored. Turn down the TV. And I'm like watching the feed so I know when I'm on. And it's a lot of, I want to watch this show, what, you know? And I'm like, Natalia, you cannot do that to me. You cannot do this to me at work. I'm actually working. Like, she doesn't get, she kind of sees it as a super easy job, right? And like, all you do is go on stage and like, and you know,
just show up,
play, and yeah, and show up, right? And so then we got home, and there was a little bit of drama between them, and I was just like, enough, you guys put yourself to bed, enough, you know. And so I feel very guilty today.
Did they cold shoulder you this
but
morning?
They're No, well, I left. I had to get up early for work. I left before they were awake. But they usually don't do that this young. I think that they start doing that as teenagers. They'll start cold shouldering me. But they're both amazing. They're just, you know, they're awesome. And you know, and I'll look at my life and go, gosh, I don't socialize that much. You know, I spend like almost all the time with my kids. I don't have help. I have a really sweet girl who picks them up and takes them to school, you know, when I can't, when I'm working, but otherwise it's just me. And I like it like that. You know, sometimes I'm like, God, I shouldn't be out tying one on, you know, I should be out like, you know, looking for a rich man or something. I think I have come to terms. I have come to terms that I'm the rich man and I'm going to be my own rich man.
Exactly.
But, right. But I'm just like, you know, but when I'm away from them, I have so much fun with them. It's family. I mean, we're really cool group. It's a very, you know, interesting dynamic. I'm doing a woman's show in October in Vancouver and I'm bringing them with me, you know, cause I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to be away from them and they'll dig Vancouver. So why not?
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Well, we do love your Insta stories and their frequent guest star appearances in them. So you did mention 1994, so this marks 25 years since your YNR debut. When you just think about the fact that here you are, you're back, you're playing this role, like, what does this journey mean to you?
It's so wild. It's actually, it's actually a very interesting role to play. So it means, I mean, it's so creative, and they want it to be creative, and they have a very definite opinion of who Phyllis is and how it's going to go. So it seems like it's going to be really fun, and I think it's going to be very much how it was back in the day. I had even forgotten that Phyllis has always been a very humorous character, even though she's a nut and you know, for lack of a better word, a bitch. And, you know, she's always been funny, always. And I'd forgotten that. And because the last few years I was playing it, there wasn't a lot of humor written in it. And there was some, but not too much. And I'd forgotten, like, you know, the octopus in the bed and, you know, a lot of funny and the stuff with Tim Reed. Like, there was a lot of comedy. And they're really, really bringing Phyllis back to who she was 94, 95, 96, all of those, you know, into the 90s and 2000s. So I'm honored, truly honored to play it, really.
Well, we certainly look forward to everything that's going to happen on screen. And we thank you very much for joining us again.
Thank you, beautiful ladies.
You have a wonderful day, and we will talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Michelle Stafford for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.